Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Our goal is to help people to understand the Word of God. Our goal is to take the message of the Bible and to plant it into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and motivate and encourage them to obey the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures." The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 1 verse 16. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In 1 Corinthians 2 verse number 2, Paul said, "I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me, if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ." In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 27, Paul said, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory," as he said in verse 16. And then he said, "I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." Paul is simply saying, I have a responsibility, and that is to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter number 20, Paul called the elders of Ephesus together. He said, "I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I have taught you publicly and from house to house." Also in that same chapter, he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you've heard this verse before, when Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables." He said, "Now you make full use of your ministry," and then he goes to say in verse number 6, "The time of my departure is at hand. I am now literally offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Isn't that marvelous, ladies and gentlemen? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me on that day, not to me only, but to all those that love it appearing." That is what Paul said. I have kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the message of the Bible. It is the gospel proclaimed in the Word of God. And Paul said, "I have not shunned to declare it." Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach it." Paul said, "I declare it unto you." And that's what we are endeavoring to do here, is simply help you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible says, not what Larry Acuff is teaching. You're not going to stand before Larry Acuff in the day of judgment. You're not going to stand before man. The Bible says in Matthew 25, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Or excuse me, for 2 Corinthians 5:10. In Matthew 25, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in all of His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He..." Do what? He'll separate them. All the nations will be gathered together. He'll separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. "When the Son of Man shall come, every man must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." You and I will give an account of the things that we have done. Now, we will do that, ladies and gentlemen, based on what the Bible says. Don't you want to know what the Bible teaches? You and I must recognize that there is a book that you and I must go by. That's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." All the will of man, or the Word came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Maybe I can illustrate this for you. We're going to be looking in just a second at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse number 10. But I want to illustrate to you the essentiality, the necessity of knowing the Bible and having a book that you and I can go by. Several years ago, I was driving to Op, Alabama to preach in a gospel meeting. I left the Atlanta area about 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. I was to speak there on Sunday morning. Off Alabama from the Atlanta area is maybe 4 hours, 4.5 hour drive. But I knew if I left about 10 o'clock, I would gain an hour when I go into Alabama because I'll go into Central Time. I'll gain about an hour, and I'll get down there about 1 o'clock, and that'll be fine. I'll be able to go to bed, sleep for till 6, 7 o'clock the next morning, and then get up and have a great day on the Lord's Day. I did that. I was about an hour and a half going down Interstate 85, and all of a sudden I heard something or felt something in my car, and I thought, do I have a flat tire? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep something in mind. I am not mechanically minded. My brother said, Larry, get away from that wheelbarrow. You know you don't know nothing about machinery. I don't know anything about it. I mean, I know there's a steering wheel on the car. I know where the accelerator is and the brake. I know how to put gas in an automobile. That's about it. I pulled off on the side of the road, and that's about 11:30 in the evening. I get out of my car and begin to look around, and I discover, yes, the right rear tire was flat. Ladies and gentlemen, I had never changed a tire. Some of you smart addicts out there watching this, you say, oh, Larry doesn't do that. Well, if you've never done it, I'd never changed a tire. I didn't know if I had a tire. I didn't know if I had a jack. I didn't. Now, I could have gotten on the phone and dialed an 800 number, and they would have come out and changed that tire for me. But now, I'm going to tell you, I was already an hour and a half away from Atlanta. That meant that I'd have to wait on them to come, probably 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. So I said, I'll just do it myself. I get out, unload all my things out of the truck, stack it up on the side of the expressway. And sure enough, folks, there's a tire down in there. Well, I get the tire out. I find a jack. But I thought, now, how am I going to get this thing? Where am I going to put this jack to jack this automobile up? I stuck it in there and started jacking up. But you know how folks, it seemed kind of wobbly. I thought, I wouldn't want that thing to fall. Guess what I did? I did something, ladies and gentlemen, that many people would never even think about doing. Somebody said, I'm not that brilliant. I went to the glove compartment of that car, and guess what was in there? There was a manual for that car. Guess what I did? I got that flashlight, and with one hand holding that flashlight on that thing, I found out how to, it had the instructions there on where to put that jack. I put the jack in there, jacked that thing up. Now, it did take me a while. I changed the tire. How did I do it? I did it, ladies and gentlemen, by looking at the manual. Now, I know you're saying, well, I'd hate to admit that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do hate to admit it, but it's true. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. You and I must look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. Because you and I will face it in the day of judgment. Now, I would like, as we continue our study today, turn your Bibles, if you have a copy of the Bible, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, because I want to examine with you a concept that's prevalent in our world, in our society today. And here's what the concept is. That it does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever had folks say, I've got it right here. I can feel it right here. You're feeling? Listening to someone else? Did you hear about the fella a few months ago? This was all over the news. About the fellow in England, he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, I'm sorry to tell you, my friend, but you have pancreatic cancer. You have approximately 6 months to live. Ha ha! Oh, that's not funny. But The guy's attitude is what I'm thinking of. The fellow said, I've got 6 months to live. I'm not going to sit around and whine and cry. I'm going to make the best of the next 6 months, 6 to 8 months of my life. I'm going to make the best of it. You know what he did? Man, he went and got all his cash. He started living it up. He started having a good time, eating out, taking trips. Guess what else he didn't do? He didn't pay his mortgage payments. Why do I need to pay for the mortgage? I'm not going to be here. He spends all his money. I mean, he goes out and he's having a good time. Lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? He observed that after several months, he said, "Honey, you know what? I don't feel bad. Yeah, I ought to be, if I'm dying, I ought to be feeling bad." Approximately a year after they told him he was going to die with pancreatic cancer, he went back to the doctor and I said, "Yeah, we made a mistake. You don't have cancer. You had an inflammation of the pancreas." Uh-oh. Guess what, folks? He has sold, or he has used all his money. Now they're getting ready to foreclose on his house. And he's not dead. He's broke. But he isn't dead. What did he do? He listened without examining. How many individuals spiritually have done the same thing, folks? They have listened without examining what the Bible teaches. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul said, "I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together with the same mind, the same judgment. For it has been reported unto me of you, my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Some say, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm Cephas, I'm Christ. Is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Certainly not." Folks say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he said it does make a difference what you believe. "I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. There be no division." Oh, some were saying, "Hey, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos." I said, well, they did. They had preacheritis. They were following in the footsteps of a man and not in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And perhaps they were believing things that were incorrect. Is that our world today? Sincerity based not upon truth, but upon feeling? I encourage you, my friend. When you and I look at the Bible, and Paul said, "I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing," that you and I be able to go to the Word of God and give book, chapter, and verse for the things that we believe and practice. What about the church that you're a part of? Is it based on the facts of the Bible? Or is it based upon feeling? Is it based upon a relationship that you may have with an individual? You and I must recognize that the Bible teaches that there is one body. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Bible says there's one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. The Bible says that one body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 hath put all things under his feet and given to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Or Colossians 1 and verse 18, he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. There is one body, and that body is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the church that we read about in the New Testament. It is the church that Jesus said in Matthew 16. Oh, they came. Oh, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some said, "Well, thou art Elias, or John the Baptist, or one of the prophets." Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Jesus said, "I will build my church." The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He bought it. He died for it, ladies and gentlemen. In Acts chapter 20, Paul called the elders of Ephesus together at Miletus, and he said to these men, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." In Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." What did he do? He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you base your concept of the church on how you feel? On sin? Oh, Brother Acuff, if you just knew my preacher and you knew how sincere he was. Ladies and gentlemen, weigh truth on truth scales and sincerity on sincerity scales. Don't weigh truth on sincerity scales or sincerity. You weigh truth on truth scales and sincerity on sincerity scales. I'm not questioning, my friend, the sincerity, quotation marks, of your preacher. I'm questioning, are men right in what they teach about the church? See, men say, well, it doesn't matter. You join the church of your choice. You go do whatever you want to do. As long as it feels good. As long as it's exciting. As long as you can be enthusiastic about it. As long as... No, ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say? Do you want to be a part of the church that wears the name of Jesus Christ? Why would you be a part of the church that does not wear His name? Why would you want to be a part of a church that has a name out in front of it that does not exalt the name of Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians 3, "Unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end." Romans 16:16, that was in Ephesians 3:10 or 21. In Romans 16:16, the Bible says the churches of Christ salute you. That's not a denominational name, ladies and gentlemen. That means the churches that belong to Christ salute you. Why would you want to be a part of an organization that does not exalt the name of Jesus Christ? Jesus died for the church. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Jesus, it is His body, so should it not wear His name? Should it not show that identifying information that this is the church of the living God? That's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. I would want to be a part. See, a man may be sincerely wrong, but at the same time he's still wrong. You and I need to be right based on truth. Now, you may, if you watch this program very much, you may have at one time or another heard me refer to the fact my daughter is a pharmacist. One day she is standing at or in the counter at the pharmacy, and she does not do that now. She doesn't dispense pharmaceuticals. She has another work, does another work in the pharmaceutical area. But this time she was dispensing, of course, drugs at a pharmacy, and a fellow comes in. He has a prescription, and he hands it to my daughter April. And April looks at it. She goes over to the computer and puts this in, and zap, comes up. He's got a heart problem. She looked at the prescription. She said, "Wait a minute. This prescription that the doctor has given to him is not good for his heart problem." So she calls the doctor and she said, "Doctor, do you know that this prescription that you gave this individual, that this isn't good for his heart problem?" He said, No, don't fill that prescription." Well, the father was kind of upset because she would not fill it. But you see, if she could have looked at that prescription and said, "Well, he's so sincere and I'm sincere and the drugstore's sincere, and we're all sincere people here. I'll go ahead and fill it." Man takes the medication and dies. That wasn't truth. It was filled on sincerity. So folks have this idea or this concept, well, as long as you're sincere about it. No, I want to be a part of the church of the New Testament that the Bible tells me about truth, not sincerity. Therefore, Jesus said, I will build my church. It wears His name, ladies and gentlemen. He is the head of it. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:22 and 23, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 5:25 through 27, the Bible says He's head of the body. Therefore, as the head of the body, He has the right to direct the way that body goes. How does He do it? Through the Bible, through His Word. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. In Hebrews 9, verse 16, the Bible says, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is not of force, so long as the testator liveth. So the Bible, the Word of God, is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what Jesus Christ wants us to do when you and I read and study the Bible. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 that you will know the mystery when you read. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Christ is the head of the church. I know what Christ wants me to do. For an example, since He is head of the church, I know what Christ wants me to do in order to be saved. He doesn't whisper, Larry, here's what I want you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't give me a feeling. See, feelings come after action. You come by my house someday and I'm standing out in the front yard and I'm leaning up against the tree and I've got an axe out there and you say, Mr. Acuff, what are you going to do? I'm going to cut down a tree. And you say, well, when are you going to cut it down? I said, as soon as I start sweating, I'm going to cut the tree down. No, when I start cutting, then I'll start sweating. See, folks, many times base it on feeling. I want to sweat first. No, you obey first. So the Bible, Christ is the head of the body. Not only that, but listen to this. The Bible says He is the Savior of the body. What does that mean? He's going to save the church. If I want to be saved, what do I need to be? I need to be in the church in order to be saved. Somebody said, oh, I can be saved just at home. No. I'm not talking about a house. You must be in the body of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:47. The Bible says the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So Christ has dictated how I am saved in His book. I'm not going to tell you what Larry Acuff would have you do to be saved because it wouldn't matter. I didn't die for you. I'm just the deliverer of a message. And that message is simple. There's five steps to salvation.
Oh, somebody said, well, here's one of them five steppers.
Yes, five steps. Hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No, not hearing a still, small voice, not having a feeling, but hearing the Word of God. Second, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, and verses 15 and 16, Jesus gave the Great Commission. He said, you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What do? I hear the Word of God, then I believe it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe the Word of God. Not only do I believe the Word of God, but I repent of my sins. I said there's five steps. Hear the Word of God, believe in Jesus as the Son of God, change your life by repentance. In Acts 2 and verse 38, well, let's go back to verse 37. People on the day of Pentecost, Peter had preached to them. They had crucified the Son of God. Now, when they heard this, they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. King James Version. what shall we do? Then Peter said, you repent. Luke 13:3, the Bible says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And also in Luke 13:5. Now then, I said there's five steps. Hear the Word of God. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says, with the heart man believes with righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And then, number five, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. No, you're not baptized because you're saved. You're baptized in order to be saved. Oh, there are those, some who will stop. They'll say, oh, you've got to say the sinner's prayer and you've got to confess you're a sinner. No, you confess Christ. And then you're baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward our Father which is in heaven. Not feeling, ladies and gentlemen. Not sincerity. But obedience to the truth, the Word of God.